Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, calling all moms. Being a mom can be among the toughest jobs in the world. Well, we've got some hints to help make your life a little easier. Moms, give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to run.
Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everybody, and a happy Monday to you. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And a happy belated Mother's Day to all the moms out there. We're celebrating moms today on our show titled Calling All Moms. We figured that, might be good to take some time after the holiday to just reflect a little bit on, just how being a mom is a tough job. And
holy mackerel.
Give you some hints to maybe make momming a little bit easier.
Yeah, because I think that this is the perfect day to do it. You know, on Friday we really were talking about miracles, and we were talking about Our Lady as our spiritual mom because of the 100th anniversary of Fatima. And Greg and I made a very conscious decision to say, let's do things for moms the day after the big day. Because Mother's Day is such a mixed bag, right? And we are all at least sensitive to the fact that it's not easy for everybody out there to have this day set aside for mothers. If you've lost your own mom, if you haven't been able to become a mom, if you've lost a child, there are a million ways where those can be sore points. But another way we sort of don't realize that it's hard is that I know dozens of moms who woke up yesterday morning, saw all of the social media posts on how thrilled other mothers were to be moms and all the wonderful things their family was doing for them, and yet their day wasn't so hunky-dory. You know, their spouses didn't come through. Their kids fought anyway. Life didn't stop and suddenly become butterflies and flowers in their house because somebody said it was Mother's Day. Momming is hard work. 24/7, 365, it's hard work. So as we get past that day where you're supposed to be feeling so honored, cherished, and loved, why don't we talk about when the momming is sort of hard? You know, what's making it difficult, or even what's making it difficult with your particular mom if you're dealing with that relationship over the course of this past holiday weekend. But really, we need to support each other as parents, moms and dads, but especially because of Mother's Day, as moms, in the reality of what this is really like compared to the fact that the reality is also something pretty amazing and deeply spiritual as Catholic moms.
877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions. Being a mom is a tough job. What makes it particularly tough these days in your household? 877-573-7825. You know, coming at this from the perspective of the theology of the body, we're reminded that motherhood, you know, both biological and spiritual motherhood as well, is really at the heart of the embodied self-donation that is the feminine genius, as St. John Paul used to put it. You know, as human beings, we find ourselves by making a gift of ourselves. And I want to be clear here, and I'm you know, at the risk of mansplaining here. I'm sensitive to that, but I want to put this out there, you know, because this is not just a sort of sexist thing that the church says about women, right? It's just as men find our true fulfillment, not as human resources or being means of economic production, but rather in the role of actual or spiritual fatherhood.
That's right.
You know, the church says it about men too, right? Okay. Well, in the same way, or in a similar way at least, women discover their true happiness by embracing actual and spiritual mothering. That phrase, the feminine genius, refers to the fact that even if a woman never physically gives birth, her very body, the woman's very body, is an icon that reminds all of humankind that our true dignity as persons is rooted in our ability to be life-giving, to be nurturing in everything that we do. And the more men and women can use our gifts to nurture, to encourage, to affirm, to comfort, to strengthen and build up others, the more we all discover what we were created for and can fulfill our destinies as children of God.
Yeah, and this is really, in terms of the Catholic Church, what Mother's Day is all about. It's this reminder of the fact that what we do is deeply spiritual to ourselves in our own spiritual growth and to those who witness it, our spouses, our children, the world, whether, as Greg was saying, whether we are mothering our own under our own roof or whether we are mothering the people through this nurturance that we come across day to day. This is a spiritual exercise that both benefits us and the world around us. And it's an amazing experience if we can keep our eyes and our minds and our spirits centered on that and not the drudgery or the fact that the world tells us it's less than important.
And I'm gonna put you on the spot here for a second.
Okay. I always love that.
I know, and I was debating whether to do this or not, but I'm gonna put you on the spot here because the potential. Okay, well, anytime we talk about stuff like this, anytime anybody talks about stuff like this, there's this sort of potential to get all kind of pious and you know, like you said, butterflies and unicorns
about the whole thing.
Right, where is it? Oh, being a mom is such a blessing. And it is. It's all that stuff. But no, it is.
Look, no, it's just the way you said it. And if people could have seen your face, that was really funny.
No, but here's the thing, okay? We sometimes will get comments, either email comments or we'll see it on blogs, places, or whatever.
Lisa Popchak says, too perfect.
Oh, I don't heaven help.
She acts like she's got it all together.
And the reason I'm bringing this out, like I said, I'm putting you on the spot with this, because I want to be clear about something here. All right? And I'd like you to kind of speak to this.
No, of course. Go. What are you asking?
So is your point in all of this to make moms feel bad because they're not as perfect as you, Lisa Popchak, who's got momming all together and all down all the time?
First of all, let me get over the gag that idea in the first place. First of all, don't have it all together. You should see my house today. Second of all, absolutely not in terms of making you feel bad or making anybody feel guilty or even putting hot burning coals on my own head because I don't have it all together. I was very, very, very blessed that... Okay, here we go. Choking up. Going to stop this. Deep breath. I was very blessed that when I was about 15 years old, an incredible woman came into my life, became my spiritual mother, and brought me into the Catholic Church. And she was a mom of five. One of her children had a terminal disease, and she managed to take me under her wing as a very isolated kid with a mom who had to work 20 hours a day to keep the roof over our heads and was a great mom in material ways but couldn't be there for me emotionally and spiritually. And this woman stepped in and her witness of how she cared for me, how she cared for her children, showed me and her deep and abiding love for Our Lady. Everything she did was through Mary to Jesus. She's the one that showed me the significance of motherhood, both physical and spiritual, because I didn't know that before I met her. I didn't know Christ before I met her. And it literally changed me at the core of who I was. It was such a gift. And then to become a mother later on and know that I didn't have to do it in sort of a robotic drudgery, my kids are my cross kind of way, but that I was now able to share with other people what this woman did for me was mind-blowing to me. So in the midst of the drudgery, in the midst of the exhaustion, in the midst of all of this, I stop and ask Our Lady to help me be to my own kids and to other people what Barbara, who became my confirmation sponsor, got me back into the church after I had walked away after my first communion. We call her my godmother because she really is. And if I can give to anyone, my own children or anybody else who listens to me or reads anything we've written, a little bit of what Barbara gave to me, then that's a gift I have to pass on. I am paying forward something that was given to me. And it's changed how I parent so resoundingly, because I can look, even at the worst of times, I can go off in my room, take a deep breath, hit my knees in front of my painting of Our Lady holding baby Jesus and say, teach me how to do this the way you do this, because this is really hard today. So I know I'm not doing it on my own. I know I have a mother who's praying for me to do it well in Our Lady. I've got God's help all the time in the perfect love of the Trinity. And I've got such an example in the woman who gave me this gift, who was not my biological mother. My biological mother taught me fortitude. This other woman taught me everything else. And it's my gift to try to share that with my own kids and anybody else who decides to listen. And if you don't want to read it or listen, it's okay by me. God's calling you to something else. But it's never, ever about making it harder or making somebody feel guilty. It's about a gift that I received that was life-giving, yeah, and something that I feel I want to share with other people.
Well,
it's been such a blessing to me.
Thank you. Because, you know, I know a lot of people, well, it's just hard to know exactly where we're coming from.
Sure.
And it's not about being perfect. It's about recognizing the blessings of being a mom or a dad. It's about recognizing the graces that are there and really seeing the powerful spirituality of parenthood. But it's also about being real and recognizing that it's hard work.
Yes, and supporting each other and loving each other through it and helping each other through it. We need to do that, and we need to do it for each parent who's struggling, and we need to do it for the whole world who needs that more than ever as families just don't know where to go or where to turn for the help that they really need to be loving and to be together and to make it all work.
So once again, being a mom is a tough job. So we're asking you, what makes it tough for you these days, and how can we make it a little easier for you to be able to begin this week of parenting feeling like you got it under control? 877
or at least feel supported.
Right,
well, you don't have it under control because nobody's got it under control all the time.
877-573-7825. Again, it's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of
the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we thank you for all the moms out there. We thank you for giving us your mother on the cross, telling us that she was our mother and that we were her children. We thank you for the gift of motherhood and the fact that women are created in a powerful way to be assigned to all of us, all human persons, of the call to be nurturing, the call to be life-giving, the call to build up and create community. We thank you for all the women in our lives that do that work and who are a sign of that love for us. And we thank you, Lord, for all the moms out there who are working hard, both spiritual moms and actual moms, who are working hard to do that and inspire us through their example. Lord, we ask you to be with all the moms today especially.
to, as we begin our week of parenting and then work and life, we just ask you to give an extra measure of your grace to all the moms out there, especially the moms who are struggling, who are feeling a little behind the eight ball today, who are feeling worn out, unappreciated, disrespected, or who are having a hard time really making the things that they need to happen happen in their homes, in their lives. We ask you to be with all the moms out there and be with all the men who need to support those moms, so that we can work together to be a sign of your love in the world. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
And in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Today on More to Life, calling all moms. Being a mom can be among the toughest jobs in the world. We're going to share some hints for making momming a little easier. Give us a call if there's something that's making it particularly tough for you as a mom today. We'd love to help you through it. 877-573-7825.
And really quickly, I have to end that story with the fact that this godmother of mine, after she raised her five kids, her husband passed away, and she answered a late in life vocation of the sisterhood. She is a sister of the Oblate Sisters of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in Hubbard, Ohio, and I have to give a shout out to them, or the next time I go, they're going to like hit me upside the head because they're Italian sisters, and they did not like being left out of the end of that story.
Joliet, Illinois now.
At the moment, yeah. Yes, she is, caring for the retired priest there.
All right, well, thank you for giving us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's go to the phones right now, Lisa.
We're talking with Pam, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Marietta, Ohio, on Holy Family Radio.
Hi, Pam. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you today?
Yes, my question is, and you guys may or may not have the answers, and that's fine, but what happens when you're trying your very best, you've surrendered everything to God, you know Jesus is in your heart, and he's totally in control of everything. However, it's painful to try to raise children with a spouse that's nowhere near your same belief system and just very unevenly yoked to the point where it's almost excruciating. Like, you know, to just you're not meeting, you're not connecting, you're not on the same page.
So let me ask you, Pam, for two questions. First of all, how long you guys been married?
A long time. Yeah, we met when we were probably babies, like high school, so 25 years.
Since 2000. Okay.
And how many... you've known each other a long time, but you've been married since 2000. And how about kids?
Yeah.
Ages, name, like not names, but ages, and how many?
I've got five beautiful children.
Okay.
And is your husband, when you say, you know, you're not in the same place, and that can mean a lot of different things. Is he antagonistic, or is he just not involved?
No, he's a good person. He's a good dad. I think he tries to be a good spouse, but he just doesn't talk.
Okay, go on.
You know, he's not a great communicator, and as far as disciplining the kids, we're totally opposite ends as far as, like, all that stuff, too. Like, you know, like, we see things so differently, and sometimes that's a good thing because, you know, you can see insight into someone else's perspective, and I get that, but it just feels like we're not on the same page with anything. Like, there's so many times I have to prompt him to say something or stick up for me or something. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
And so when you say you're on opposite ends of discipline, do you mean that he's too harsh or not involved enough? Or what do you say?
I feel like he's not in the present moment, like not engaged, you know, not there.
Okay. when you try to talk to him about it, what happens?
I mean, I don't even know if he's interested in changing, and I don't know that I should want him to change. I feel guilty for wanting more.
Okay, well, let me empower you there. Because here's the thing. You know, there's this secular idea of love is just accepting people for how they are. And you know what? Okay, there's something to that. Of course we need to be affirming to each other and accept each other for where we are at. But love really means loving another person too much to let them stay that way, too. Ultimately, we're all called to be saints, right? And to be a saint is to be somebody who really is engaged and connected to God's grace and sharing that grace and being involved and having that heart-to-heart connection with it, with others. And so you have absolutely every right in the world, Pam, because you're in a sacramental marriage with this guy, to expect him to work with you to become a saint and to challenge you to be the saint that you're meant to be and to grow in all the ways that you have to do to get there. And that might not happen overnight, and I can guarantee you it's not going to happen overnight. And you have to be patient with each other, and you have to be understanding of the struggles that you're going to encounter. But you always have the right to have that expectation that both of you are going to change and grow to be the intimate, loving partners that God created husbands and wives to be, and to be willing to overcome whatever obstacles stand in your way to creating that intimate, loving partnership that Adam and Eve enjoyed before the fall. Are you ever going to get there this side of? Well, no, but you're going to be working toward that. You see that as the vision that you're striving for. And so don't ever feel guilty, Pam, expecting or insisting even that your husband be willing to do the work he needs to do on himself to be more present to you or to his children, to bring more of his heart to bear on the everyday life of your family. That's absolutely critical. In fact, that's your mission, to love him, to be that prophet in your home that reminds him of who he's called to be.
Right,
and to expect him to do that work.
It's not about meeting your needs.
No.
It's about helping him to become everything God wants him to be. God put you in his life to do that. And he's giving you the eyes to see and the heart that's aching that says, you know what, Pam? He does need to stretch in the ability to be more intimate and communicative because he needs to be able to do that with me, God. And if you can call him to do that with you, you're paving the road for him to do it with me. And yes, he really does need to have a heart for his children so he can understand my heart for him. And so this isn't just about you getting your needs met, although you deserve that. That's your right, and it's just. But it's really about him becoming everything he can be so that he can be more in one union with God.
The real problem here, Pam, is that I'm almost 100% convinced that you got a guy here who's struggling with what's called an avoidant attachment style, which is somebody who really doesn't know how to connect on an effective way with other people, but also with God. And that avoidant attachment style is not just the way guys are. It's the way men and women can be when they're not nurtured the right way when they're growing up. And they don't learn how to express themselves. They don't learn to count on other people to get their needs met. And they don't learn to reach out to God in any way. And that's a very serious issue that needs to be addressed, and that you are doing him a favor by expecting him to work on this with you. He's not going to do it on his own because he doesn't really get the idea of intimacy. He doesn't get the point of reaching out in that way. But by getting the appropriate help together, working with a good counselor who's going to help you begin to address these avoidant attachment problems that you've got going on in the relationship as well as in his own heart, you're going to begin to see some change here. Now, look, I'm going to turn you on to two books because we got to go to our break. We're really running over here. They're both by Dr. Tim Clinton. One is called Attachments, which is going to talk about these three different major attachment styles, including avoidant attachment. The other one is God Attachment is the other one. God Attachment. They're both by Tim Clinton, which focus on how these attachment styles relate to our relationship with God. Those are going to give you more of a picture of what we're talking about here and why you need to do this work and need to stop feeling guilty expecting more from your husband. That's as much as I can do for you today. But if there's more that we can do beyond this, don't hesitate to reach out to us through the Pastoral Solutions Institute. We do a lot of work with folks on this issue, and I'm sure that we can be a help to you. Check out through the website at more2liferadio.com or give us a call at 740-266-6461 to make an appointment. God bless you, Pam, and thanks for the call. We have to go to break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about the things that are making it tough for you to be a mom today. 877-573-7825. Stick around.
More to Life is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. Six different Ave Maria Mutual Funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives. Smart investing and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
More to Life is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Ironics Christ is the Answer program. Father Ricardo talks to a large group of men about our society and the culture that surrounds us and dilutes our commitment to our Lord and His Church. His title, What Our Country Needs from Catholic Men. Listen to Christ is the Answer Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 8, and Sunday mornings at 11 on Ave Maria Radio at AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking with you today about moms on our show titled Calling All Moms. You know, being a mom is tough work, and we're wanting to make your life a little easier today. So call in and share what are some of the struggles you're facing, and how can we help you out? 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute has some inspiration for all the moms out there from the Theology of the Body. Welcome, Bill.
Thanks, Dr. Gary and Lisa. Good to be with you. And happy belated Mother's Day, Lisa.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're coming off Mother's Day, so let's talk a little bit about what does the Theology of the Body say about the value of motherhood and what we can all learn from this idea of being a mom.
Sure. You know, for the Theology of the Body, really the icons for all men, for all women, are always, of course, Jesus and Mary, you know, fully man and Mary, fully woman. So when we think of womanhood and motherhood, looking at Mary and looking at the scriptures that sort of circle around her own heart, there's several occasions in Luke's Gospel where it says Mary encountering and experiencing life and life with Jesus and with Joseph. In first century Palestine, it says that she experienced these things and treasured them in her heart. Just this idea of mothers being such the ones who drink in the details, who take in life, and really they take it literally into the womb of their hearts, that's a treasure chest. I think just for us men, even looking at women that way, that they hold so much in their hearts. And for women to know that you are a treasure and you hold so much, it's just a great gift. That literally, figuratively, and spiritually in the body, a mother can do that.
Let me ask you, Bill. We've got about a minute here, but I just wanted to, in this post Mother's Day kind of experience here, what can men do to really nurture and support the moms in their life?
Yeah, you know, I think tenderness is the key. Knowing what tremendous responsibilities fall on mothers, you know, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, that's intense. So I think men need to be real stewards of that, and that's done through tenderness and attentiveness to a woman, how much she holds in her heart. So tenderness.
Powerful. Bill, I want to thank you so much for being with us today, and if folks would like to learn more about the good work that the Theology of the Body Institute does, they can go to tobinstitute.org. That's tobinstitute.org. Bill, thanks again for being with us today. Sorry about the short
story. Thank you.
God bless you. When we come back, we are talking with you about being a mom and the challenges that moms face today. Give us a call. We want to make your life a little easier at 877-573-7825. Stick around. More to Life. We'll be back after the break.
Today's preview of this Sunday's Gospel is brought to you by the Truth and Life Audio Bible, available on the Ave Maria Radio app and at AveMariaRadio.net/Bible.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father,
and I will love him and manifest myself to him.
If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you.
Get your copy today right on your smartphone in the Ave Maria Radio app or by going to avemariaradio.net/Bible.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. Many people say that after baby comes, marital intimacy is over. But that is absolutely not true. You just need to be creative. Greg and I love going out on dates to parks, performances, and restaurants. So after we had our children, we still went out on dates. But we brought the baby along. We sat by an exit, asked for a to-go box with the meal as soon as it came, and brought quiet activities for the baby. We went to a few favorite places repeatedly. And most of all, we went into the date expecting an adventure. While you may occasionally have to leave a restaurant or an event with a fussy baby, chances are the date will work out just fine, and you can maintain the intimacy with your spouse without sacrificing bonding time with your new baby. Your social life isn't over when a new baby comes. In fact, it's just beginning to get interesting. For more Catholic parenting tips, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back. Today on More to Life, calling all moms. This day after Mother's Day, we're talking a bit about being a mom. And the reality is, being a mom is a tough job. We want to help make it a little easier today. Lisa and I together at 877-573-7825. Give us a call. We'll help you start the week off on the right foot. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jane, who's listening in Findlay, Ohio, on Holy Family Radio.
Hey, Jane, welcome to More to Life. What's your question or comment for us today?
Thank you. I want to tell you, I just started listening to you a couple months ago when I can, and I really enjoy your stories. And Lisa, what you shared with us about Barbara and your mother and your journey, I thank you so much. And, Greg, your prayer was so beautiful. I just got so much out of you this morning. And I thank you. But when I heard, oh, yes, and I pray for you. And I just wanted to let you know, I had a doctor's appointment this morning. And going back to where they were going to do my procedure, I passed a curtain where obviously, a mother with child, I heard the heartbeat.
Oh, wow.
And it was so beautiful and brought back so many beautiful. I just was in awe. My soul was saying, oh, when I heard that heartbeat. My husband and I were young when we got married. We are so grateful we said yes to life. I just want to encourage, if there's one person out there, mother or father, if you're contemplating, thank God abortion never came into my mind or soul, and that was right about when Roe versus Wade, just a couple years after that. In any way, we have this beautiful, beautiful child, and We have three adult children now and five grandchildren, but every day every day isn't roses.
That's right.
But I'll tell you what, it's at least a daisy because
it's at least a daisy. I love that. I'm gonna like write that down. Every day might not be roses, but at least it's a daisy. I love that.
Gina, I want to thank you for your comments, and we really appreciate that support, and we really need and appreciate your prayers so much.
And Shane, thank you for pointing out the day after Mother's Day for people who might be saying, "What do I do? You know, I don't know if I can raise a baby. Oh my gosh, I didn't expect this to happen." Whatever those messages are in their heads, and they're contemplating, do they choose life or do they choose death? Thank you for pointing to that, especially on this day after Mother's Day. But I'm going to go one step further as we pray for those women who are trying to figure that out. I pray for the grandparents who are being faced with their children having unexpected pregnancies, and they're feeling so many terrors and disappointments and angst and all of that, and where is God in all of this? I tried so hard. Please realize that what Jane is saying, that sound of that heartbeat is just the first sound of many wonderful sounds that you will get if you encourage and support those kids in your life that have to make this rough choice to choose life. And so, Jane, your words are very, very cherished by me today. Thank you so much for calling.
And as we let you go, Jane, I want to just lift you up in prayer for your procedure today.
Right.
Lord, we just ask you to bless Jane and to be with her through this procedure. Let it be successful. Give her good health and let her to continue to be a powerful witness to all of those in her life of the love that shines out of her heart. We ask your blessing on Jane and her family
today. Thank you for the gift that she is.
Amen. Thank you, Jane. God bless you. We're taking your calls today about being a mom. You know, it's tough work, and we want to help you do it a little bit easier, sort of our belated Mother's Day gift to all of them, all the moms out there. So if you're having some issue with your kids or just being a mom in general and not sure how to get your head around it, get some new ways to approach it, we want to help you out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Amy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Kansas City, Missouri.
Hey, Amy, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I feel like this is sort of a moment of grace that this is the topic that you're having today and that I have the chance to be listening to the radio today. My husband and I were not able to have kids. We're in our early 50s, and for a variety of reasons, did not end up with children of our own, but did become licensed as foster parents about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And so we are learning to parent at a little bit of a later age, where maybe the energy level isn't quite there. And we're also learning to parent on a 6, now 7-year-old who's been with us almost a year. So his ability to observe maybe disagreements on how we parent and things like that is pretty well developed. So that's been a challenge as well, learning how to parent at all and then how to parent together while you've got eyes on you, noticing every disagreement on parenting.
Sure.
But where I feel like I'm struggling the most, and this is really sort of a knife in the heart at times, my patience, I suppose all moms have moments of impatience and losing it, but
yes,
but those
I'm going to affirm that 100 billion percent. Every single mom does.
I feel like I'm trying to do it so well, but in those moments where I'm impatient and the child looks at you with those wounded eyes that just sort of stab you in the heart, and you feel like you don't know if you're doing lasting damage or long-term damage. Just find, how do you find your patience in those moments where your patience is not there, and you know that that's the right and best thing to do?
Right, and I hear you because you're saying, how do you have that patience? But then you're feeling, and you're right, every mom with a heart for their child does have that sort of stabbing in the heart at times, and then on top of it, you're worried about, wait a minute, this might be the only stable mom this kid has, and I really need to do extra, extra good for this kid. So you feel even more pressure for it. I really understand that.
And you know, there are lots of different things to do to try to boost your patience. You know, good self-care is really important. It's, you know, it's nice to say, oh, you know, good nutrition and getting sleep, but all those things are completely contraindicated for being a mom.
Exactly.
But you know, do what you can.
Love that list.
But I will say this, okay? The probably the best thing for patients when it comes to either fatherhood or motherhood is kind of remembering why kids are behaving the way they are. You know, because if we buy into the idea that our kids are misbehaving, or in your case, your foster kids are misbehaving because they're, you know, they're trying to be manipulative, or they're being bad, or they're, you know, whatever, then it's hard to be patient with that. You know, they're trying to get something over on me, or they're trying to stick it to me. You know, we all kind of give into that thinking sometimes, and when we do, you know, it's hard to be patient with that. But here, let me try to kind of reconceive for all the listeners out there today what. You know, bad behavior really means and where it really comes from. We've talked about this on the show before, the two major kind of brains that we've got, okay? The upstairs brain, which is the brain that we're in when we're in a kind of good, logical, kind of being our best selves. You know, we've got our feelings, we know what our feelings are, but our intellects are still in control and we're able to make good choices about those feelings. And when your kids are behaving and when they're listening to you, when they're being what you would consider to be good kids, generally speaking, they're in that upstairs brain, okay? But as their stress increases for whatever reason and their emotions kind of get the better of them, they literally flip their lid, the cortex, that upstairs brain, goes offline, and they're stuck with their downstairs brain, their lizard brain, if you will, which is just more reactive, more emotional. They're not thinking through things. They're not connecting actions with consequences. They don't really care what impact it has on everybody else around them. They just know what they feel right now. And they kind of act out of that. They're dysregulated. And that's why kids misbehave. They're not misbehaving.
That's why all of us misbehave.
That's right.
Even as adults, we make, as you said, some impatient choices, all of those things we're sort of going into, as Greg would call it, that lizard brain. Kids will do that more naturally because that upstairs brain is far less developed. They've got less practice than
that's right.
We do.
That's right. And so anybody who misbehaves, whether they're a child or an adult, behaves that way because their upstairs brain is offline and they become dysregulated. So, you know, to be patient comes from the idea that, you know what, my kid, or my, in your case, my foster kid, is misbehaving because the stress that they're feeling, right, is stopping them from being able to be in their upstairs brain. So the question is, how can I create an environment that's calm enough that helps them recollect themselves? Sometimes that means what we would call time in, where you can kind of lean into the kid a little bit more and give that extra hug or that encouragement or that presence.
Or just sitting with them and holding them until they can start to calm down and get re-regulated.
Sometimes, though, that doesn't work, or we're too rattled to be able to give that to our kids. And so
you've got two lizards suddenly beating each other,
yeah,
and that's not good.
Exactly, eating each other, you know. And so then you have time out, where you're going to say to the kid, not so much as a punishment, but look, you know what, I really need you to kind of pull it together over here. And then we're going to both take some time apart here, and when you can calm down, and we can approach this respectfully, we're going to come back and work through this. But it's all about helping that kid develop better self-regulation to be able to get their own brain back online so they can work with you, learn from you, and be receptive to you.
Now, I have to say, with a child whose life has been interrupted by the chaos of the foster care system, you really need to realize that this is going to be a much more frequent occurrence in your home because you have a child who's constantly sort of going to be, yeah, he's just feeling threat all the time. So the ability to stay in a regulated place is very, very difficult for a child who's dealing with this. So when Greg's saying create that calm atmosphere and then addressing, you know, what to do in that moment of they're losing it or your impatience, really step back and look at how you can create the calmest atmosphere in your home on a 24/7 basis in terms of really the atmosphere. So get the noise level way, way down. Don't have a TV on in every room and music playing. Calm it down. Calm the lighting down. Have a routine that you have going on so they know what to
expect.
That's
right. The structure, especially the structure.
This is really an environmental thing that you can begin to ease both of your impatience and stress by sort of changing your environment to be one of much more peace and quiet.
And when Lisa says routine, we talk a lot about this need for structure, for regular times to work, play, talk, and pray together. Have regular times where you're getting together with your kids to have them come alongside of you, making meals and doing the household stuff. Have regular times where you're really getting some one-on-one time to talk with them. Have regular times where you're making sure to have fun together. Don't just sort of let them be off by themselves figuring it out. You know, they need that time too. But make sure that you're getting that time to play with them. And, you know, if you can, to whatever degree, you know, pray with them too. You know, and so creating that structure in your home is really, really critical.
As well as the child always knowing that meals come at a certain time, not to the minute, but within a certain hour every day. They don't have more than two choices for anything. So you give them a choice of two outfits, no more. You give them, if they get to choose what they're having for lunch, two things, no more. Because you don't want to overstimulate this child. You want to give security and structure and peace.
For any adoptive or foster parent out there, though, a great resource by Heather Forbes is her name. Heather Forbes has written two books called Beyond Logic, Consequences, and Control. And she specializes in helping parents with adopted and foster kids, using a lot of the methods that we talk about in general, but really applying it to the specific issues that adopted and foster kids have. It's a terrific resource. Again, it's Beyond Logic, Consequences, and Control by Heather Forbes. Amy, thanks so much for the call. God bless you for taking on this wonderful work of being a foster mom. We lift you up in our prayers today on More to Life and ask all of our listeners to keep Amy in their prayers, as well as all foster and adoptive parents. 877-573-7825. We're calling all moms today on More to Life. You know, being a mom can be tough work, and we're helping to offer some hints to make your life a little easier. Call up and share what's making it particularly tough for you today. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Stick around for more to Life coming up right after the break.
Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hello, friends. This is Father Patrick from the Archdiocese of Detroit's Office of Evangelization, wishing you and all yours a happy Easter. You know, friends, when the early apostles saw that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, everything changed. Can you imagine the joy that they experienced when they saw the risen Christ? All their hopes and dreams, a life lived in the love of God, a life lived with the joy of Christ who filled their deepest desires. Can you imagine the joy they experienced when they saw the risen Christ? Well, brothers and sisters, that's the joy Jesus wants for us, and that's the joy that Jesus wants us to share with the world. I want to invite you this Easter season, get busted for being joyful. Let somebody ask you, geez, you're in a good mood, why are you in such a good mood? And let them know, it's Jesus, it's the joy of Easter, He is alive. And I want to invite you to consider purchasing a subscription to the Michigan Catholic for yourself or for someone you love. Visit themichigancatholic.org. It's a great way to keep that fire of divine love going in your heart. God bless you, friends.
This is Lewis Brown, director of CMF Curo, a Catholic healthcare ministry that provides an affordable Catholic healthcare option nationwide. We have come to a unique time in our history. Healthcare costs are rising, and our religious freedom is being challenged. CMF Curo empowers you to live the new evangelization in your healthcare. Visit our website for more information about CMF Curo. Go to cmfcuro.com. That's cmfcuro.com. Christian caring, Christian sharing.
The mystery of death has troubled and fascinated humanity since the beginning of time. Our own experiences of mourning deceased family members and friends teach us the deep longing of the human heart for hope in the face of death. Many Catholics have lost a clear sense of how to face this experience with faith and peace. Planning funeral services in advance is not only a gift to our family and friends, but it is an affirmative way to embrace our own call to resurrection. Please take this time to call your local parish or diocese about pre-planning your cemetery and funeral rites. This message brought to you by Catholic Management Services.
Welcome back. We're so glad to have you with us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Calling All Moms, as we look at the fact that, you know, being a mom is a tough job, and we want to help you have a little easier time of it today on More to Life. Give us a call. What makes it particularly tough for you these days to be a mom, to do mom stuff? 877-573-7825. Before we take our next call, I just wanted to share, you know, one of the books that I think we're proudest of all the books that we've done, is a book called The Corporal Works of Mommy and Daddy Too. And it looks at the corporal works of mercy through the lens of motherhood in particular, and really talks about the powerful spirituality of being a mom.
It talks about what I was sharing earlier, the fact that every little mundane detail that the world tells us is awful and drudgery, that we can often feel is awful and drudgery, is just profoundly, deeply spiritual and can draw you closer to your kids and to God and make you more joyful than you ever expected to be able to feel in that moment. Won't happen every day, but when you can recall all the things in that book, things can really change and transform.
Yeah, and I got to say, I mean, I think it's hard to feel that sense of burnout. I mean, every parent gets tired, right? Every mom gets tired. Every mom needs a break. But it's hard to feel that sense of burnout if you recognize that, you know, even those mundane tasks like getting your kid a drink or serving a meal or getting them dressed, comforting them, teaching them, bandaging their boo-boos, you know, all those million other things that moms do, you're not just doing a job. You're really being an instrument of God's grace that allows your kids to know what they're worth in God's eyes.
Yeah, everybody tells us being a mom is so important, and then they tell us that everything we do is worthless. This really shows you why it is really important and what that really means. And it's a good book to just dip into on those days where you're hiding in your closet because you're hoping they won't find you for 3 seconds. And when you come out, you want to feel better. This book will help you.
So check it out. The Corporal Works of Mommy and Daddy Too.
Not a bad beach read this summer either. Take it to the pool. You'll feel better by the end of the day.
It's all about living the little way of family life. The Corporal Works of Mommy. Check it out. With that, let's go back to the phones. Lisa, who's up?
Let's talk to Patricia, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hey, Patricia, welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Good morning.
You bet.
I think one of the biggest the challenges I face as a mother is the influences. I have a 15-year-old son, and I can remember the days, and it wasn't too long ago, where he would gladly attend church with me, and he was happy to do so. But now with the outside influences with his friends, he chooses not to go.
Patricia, you said that there was a day when he used to like to attend church with you.
Yes.
Where's his dad in this?
His father passed away when he was 8 years old from a stroke.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I have not brought in anyone else into our lives.
That's fine.
So
I just want to know, get a sense of what you're talking about there. And
right,
so,
he doesn't have an adult role model.
How would you do that? Well, he has you, and that's a really important connection.
That's very significant. Don't ever diminish that.
Let me ask you this, though, Patricia. How would you describe your relationship overall with your 15-year-old son right now? What kinds of things do you guys do together, one-on-one?
We are very close. And, you know, what I do notice about him is that he does open up to me. He will tell me things that happen daily at school, observations he's made between interactions between teachers and students, just very casually, you know, just share his day with me. Mm-hmm. He will share his concerns, his things that bother him or make him angry or scared. He's protective. He has his instincts. His protective instincts are high, which I think the coaches at the high school noticed that, but they didn't take advantage of that. They haven't taken advantage of that in his football, his athletic abilities, because he's really great.
But let's come back around to your question then. So you're saying that he's not going to church with you now. What's the issue there? How is that playing out, and how does he resist that exactly?
You know, just say no, and then sometimes he'll try to set conditions. And I said, no, we go to church unconditionally out of our own.
So he does go with you. He's just resisting it. He's fighting it.
He won't bond lately. No. Now, one thing I do have to say about him is that he does read the Word of God. And the other day, he shared with me some feelings, his view of God and the church, and I was very, very touched. The way he
so there's a spiritual life there. God's moving in his heart. What's his objection to going to church exactly?
Just not wanting to go. Just no. No,
there's more to it than that, though. There's more to it than that, though. What's behind that? I don't want to go.
I don't know. You know, that's
where you need to start. Yeah, that's where you need to start, because this is an opportunity for a dialogue with him. I mean, he's not rejecting God. He's reading Scripture.
Yeah, he's actually searching more for God. He's either having a hard time with it socially, or having a hard time connecting with God there, or he needs you need to find out what it is that's keeping him from crossing the door of the church. You also want to be using his spiritual life at home much, much more, because his connection with God will lead him through the door of a church at some point, but he needs to keep that connection. So you need to be praying with him, and not just, you know, rote prayers of the church, although those are vital, and you should be praying rosaries for him every day, but just about his life, about his day-to-day stuff and his pain and his hopes and his dreams, and just really praying with him every day, perhaps before he goes to bed or before he goes to school.
Yeah, and one of the questions you want to get into with him is ask him, well, what does it mean to you to go to church now? You know, when you hear me asking you to come with me to church, you know, you'll say no, or you'll try to put conditions up. What would it mean to you to go to church? He might say something like, well, it's a bunch of hypocrites in there. He might say something about, well, the church teaches this, and I don't know if I agree with that.
He might say, my friends aren't going to think I'm cool if I go at 15 because nobody else goes because they all made confirmation and I'm the only one.
And you want to address those concerns. I mean, in general, I'm of the mindset that it shouldn't be a choice for our kids to go. This is an important thing to do. And if they fight it, if they resist it, that's fine, but they're still going to go. But having said that, getting your kid through over the threshold of the church isn't enough.
No.
Right? You deal with the fact that they're still resistant, that their hearts are closed, that their arms are crossed, that they're making the scowly face. You don't just say, well, I got him there, thank God. That's a step. But the most important thing is to say, you know, but I see you fighting it. What does it mean for you to really be there? What would it mean for you to surrender to this? Well, why do you think you need to fight this so much? Help me understand. Not in a lecturing sort of way, you're not asking these questions, but in an honest, I want to understand kind of a way. Because if you can get at either the pain or the questions or the frustration that's behind that resistance, then you can start to work through it with him. So that's your next question. Now, we talk a little bit about how to do this, actually, and how to really facilitate adolescent faith life in our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids. We take a developmental approach to faith, where we talk about all the different stages of faith from infancy through young adulthood, talk about the things that kids need at each of those stages to really grow in their faith and really own their faith. And adolescence is a particularly amazing time for faith development, but you need to know what kind of food your teenager's faith really needs to grow. We talk about that in Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids. Check it out, in addition to all the other resources that we have for you, at our website, moretoliferadio.com. where you can read excerpts from the books, you can watch hundreds of free self-help videos, and learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor who can help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Check it out at moretoliferadio.com or call to make an appointment to speak with a counselor at 740-266-6461. That's 740-266-6461. God bless everybody. Remember that God created you to be his gift in the world. Go celebrate the life you were meant to live.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah wrote these words to the Jewish people who had been forced into exile. They were no longer in their own country, no longer in the Promised Land. We too may feel